So when life gives you lemons, there goes all the worries. All the worries and stresses of life just floating off in each bubble. Bye bye worries, bye bye stresses.
Nelson and Bart go over the faceoff circle. Nelson ties up. Buccaneer skate. Lee, a chance to clear it.
What's going on? You're listening to the Long Island Sound Isles Cast, your source for everything Islanders and the only Isles podcast to sign a lucrative naming deal for the next 20 years. I'm one of your hosts, Damon Vetteri, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ben Cohen. What's going on, Ben?
I'm so angry about the people that have just flip-flopped their opinion on the bank. I love it. What's not to love?
Oh, I know. We're going to get into that, man, because I think it's great. And in fact, we are recording on a day where the news just broke that the Islanders trademarked the bank, as well as the phrase from the barn to the bank and united as one. So a little look into what they're trying to do in the next couple of years from a branding standpoint. And I got to say, I like it.
Oh, for sure. I think I talked on the solo episode that I did a while back about how they were branding when the ESPN host Damian Woody just like became an Islanders fan because they sort of took him under his wing when he said something about the island. New York having no good sports teams. And they were like, hey, what's up? And then he just went to a couple Islanders games. Like, good marketing part two.
Yeah, for sure. And I look, you got the Rock, you've got the Garden, you've got the bank. So I think it works. But man, first of all, it's good to be back. It's good to be back behind the mics, you know?
It is. And it's good to have hockey to talk about. I know we're not quite there with having like hockey games to talk about, as in the past tense, but we've got hockey games in the future and hockey games that we know are happening in the future. And I think it's fair to say we know that because of the recent round of COVID tests, which I'm very pleased to see.
Yeah, quite the tale of two cities when you look at what's going on with MLB right now, where they've got two games that have been postponed because the Marlins are having an outbreak and they were in Philly, so the Yankees can't play in Philly right now, and that's like just an absolute mess. I don't know why those teams are even traveling. And then you've got hockey where it's, you know, you've got, as you heard from the intro, you've got bubbles. So what are you worried about when you can be in the bubble? So you know, it's funny, Ben, as we were kind of putting the notes together, and you know, we've had so much time between episodes, and it's been kind of hard to get into any kind of rhythm with really no news up until very recently. And now we've got an overabundance of news, but the one thing I wasn't expecting to be a factor in this episode is the names. Everybody's getting a name now. So you may have heard from the beginning, we've formerly, or I guess officially changed our name to the Long Island Sound Isles Cast. The Seattle expansion team has a new name, and our arena has a new name. So then you get a name and you get a name and you get a name. Everybody's getting a name this episode.
For sure. And I think the only name that at first I didn't like was the Kraken, but I gotta be honest, I'm sort of doing a 180 on it. And it's not even because of, we talked about like the singular Kraken, Avalanche, Wild that I'm not the biggest fan of, but I think the reason that I changed my name on the name is because of the jerseys. Honestly, like top jerseys, one of the best in the game already.
Oh, those uniforms, that color scheme going with a dark blue and a light blue. Not enough teams, I'm such a jersey snob, not enough teams like play with shades. Like it's always like different primary colors when, you know, like the Thrashers kind of started it with like the dark blue and the light blue, and that was really sharp. And now you've slowly started to see like the Jets do it where they've got the dark blue and the light blue, and now Seattle's done it little bit of a different color scheme with that red in there, but man, that is such a sharp jersey. It is. I love their shoulder patches. I love the name. I love the incorporation of, you know, the S with the tentacles for Seattle. I love the I'm blanking on the name of it, where they hid the space needle in the anchor.
Right.
Love that. Like, it's a clean looking jersey. I love the name, love the uniform. I thought that was
Did you see the, like, what's the name for it? Why am I blanking? Just like you were before. Why am I blanking?
Well, we got to get back into it, man. It's like, you know, it's been a while, so you got to get the podcast gears turning again.
Right.
So it's okay.
Concept. Do you see the concepts for their third, their alternate jerseys, and then their alternate logo is literally just a really cool logo and then the fisherman jersey?
Yeah, it's like the wave. And it's funny because I tweeted at Mitch Anderson and I said to him, the Isles better get on getting this fisherman jersey produced soon, because somebody's going to ape that whole style. It's too trendy right now.
Right.
So they got to get on that. Don't save it for Belmont. Like, release it next year. Nostalgia's in. They're riding the high wave with, no pun intended, with, you know, the naming of the arena now. Like, let's get the fishermen back. Have some fun. You know, we need a little bit of fun in this world. 2020's been a dark, dark year. We need a little bit of fun. And so I love the fact that they were called the Kraken and not, you know, the Metropolitans, or, you know, the Kraken's a cool name. It's a fun name. It's a, you know, you got to have fun with it. So I'm all for that. And I saw that it was a short sample size or short period of time, but they had said that they had sold more merchandise since they revealed the name than any other expansion team. They even blew away the Golden Knights. So,
wow, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was cool. That is a big market that is ripe for another team. Like, they love the Seahawks. The Mariners have been bad for however long they've been. Like, they are, I think they're going to have a huge fan base, and their arena looks pretty cool too. So
it does. I like Seattle as a place for a team. I like Seattle as a hockey place. I like everything that they've done to market it. So there's no reason why they wouldn't have the best marketing of an expansion team, to me at least.
Yeah,
unless
so far
New York
anyway.
Was getting another team or something. Like,
yeah. It's exciting. It's exciting to have some new blood in the NHL from a team standpoint. You know, you've got all these, you've got such a great mix now of like these newer expansion teams, a little bit more edgy, and then you've got like the traditional original six, and then you've got, you know, the expansion kids from the 70s. I love the league and how it's just like you can almost tell when the team came into the league by their branding, by their name. Like, it's just I love that about the NHL. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, so, no, for sure.
Yeah, I think the name of their arena leaves a little bit to be desired, Climate Pledge Arena, but you know, Amazon bought the naming rights. They wanted to give it a different name that's not necessarily a corporate name. So, and that is my feeble attempt at a segue into the Islanders arena name. And UBS Arena is the name. I guess the official name is UBS Arena at Belmont Park. But really cool that they have a legit sponsor because I was certain that it was going to be like Northwell Health or something that nobody outside of New York knows anything about, you know, the WALK arena or like, you know, the WBAB arena or something like that, but or the News 12 Center. But no, this is good. This is great news, and it's an awesome deal. It's a 20-year deal, and they are making buku bucks off of it. So again, another grand slam for Malkin and Ledecky. I think we've got top tier ownership. I really do.
Oh, I know. And I think you want two things when it comes to the naming rights of a stadium. You want ideally a good name, but honestly, a nickname is more important. And then you want to make money off of it. So they're making money off of it. UBS Arena at Belmont Park is a bit much, but the bank is great, and UBS for short is for another short term, or what's the shorthand, is also great. I'm not a fan, like, I don't love the way UBS Arena sounds, but I like UBS for short is good. You know, three quick letters, it doesn't, you know, it's not hard to get off the tongue, and that's all you can really ask for.
Yeah, And the Coliseum wasn't an easy thing to say, so a lot of people called it the Barn, and they made it nice and simple. So I think they're just trying to basically keep it the same. And again, as I said earlier, you've got the Garden, you've got the Rock, now you've got the Bank. Like, arenas need a nickname. I think that's super important. You know, you've got the big corporate sponsorship that everybody sees, and I think the concept art had UBS Arena all on the ceiling, so you'll on the roof of the building rather. So you'll see that when you're flying. You know, if you ever travel again, you'll see all that. So I thought that was really nice, and I like what the Islanders are trying to do. I think the Bank is perfect. I know Devin with Yes Men Outfitters was really trying to get the stable as a thing, you know, from barn to stable and all that, and with a Belmont Park. But I think the stable, I mean, look, that's where horses crap, right? So, I mean, do we really want that as a name? I like the Bank a lot better.
I like the idea of separating it from the Coliseum. I think the Coliseum was a great place, and we left it once, and it was a not the best of changes, for sure, to the Barclays. Mm-hmm. But I think this is not that. This is building our own arena, and this happens to be, I don't know if you saw that, right where the hockey stick points on Long Island and the logo is, like, right where Belmont Park is.
The I in the Islanders' name, right, points to it.
Meant. I don't know why it was. I thought it was the stick in my head. I saw it a while ago. This is the place. The 20-year deal showed it was the place. And so I think that separating it from the Coliseum is not a bad thing. The history is there. The history is at the Barn. The future is at the Bank. The one thing that I think they should have done is I think they should have copyrighted or tried to copyright Macon Bank, because that would have been great. Because every video or picture of construction is Macon Bank, and every time they win, it's Macon Bank. I just think that would have been perfect, but that just popped into my head. Yeah. So, whatever.
Well, you know, what I found is it's a lot easier to kind of let those things organically develop as opposed to trying to force feed something. Because how many times have you seen teams, like, say, oh, we're going to make this a thing that people say, like, the most famous example, I guess two of them this season, I'd say two major hashtag missteps were the Flyers and the Rangers. The Flyers had fly or die. So every time they would lose, everybody would just say die, die, die. And then the Rangers play like a New Yorker, which was so stupid. And people made fun of that. So I think when you try to manufacture a slogan or a catchy phrase, like, it doesn't happen. You just have to let these things, you know, just let the fans, you know, kind of create these things out of whatever circumstances there are. I mean, that's why the Yes Chan exists. You can't force it. So I like that they're just calling it the Bank and let the Islander fans run with that. And, you know, Money in the Bank, Take It to the Bank. What, like, there's going to be so many of those things if it catches on. And it may not. Nobody may call it that. They may call it something totally different. So, you know, We'll see. But I'm so happy. It's like when I saw the name, it almost, which is, this is a ridiculous statement because they have arena cams and you can see it and the progress has been awesome. But like it felt real to see NHL.com have it on their front page, you know, New York Islanders sign arena naming deal, UBS Arena. Like, it made it feel real finally. Like, this is absolutely happening. It's got a name. It's a thing. And they are moving, dude. They are moving so fast on this arena. It's awesome. I mean, the exterior is coming together real nice.
There are a couple things that make various things that are happening in the Islanders organization feel real right now. There is, for me personally, soccer ending makes the Islanders bubble feel a little bit more real to me in terms of it has my whole attention now. Sorokin coming, there are a couple things that have made that feel real. Him being on the plane or in the bubble or however the fuck he got there, who knows. And like you said with the arena, being on NHL.com, a lot of things are happening in the Islanders organization, and really all you can do is be happy and wait for good things to happen.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Well, look, man, we've touched on Sorokin a little bit, and we'll get into that in a second, I think, when we talk about goalies, because that seems to be all we talk about with, you know, the roster. But well, the two things, and they'll still be the things we talk about here. Let's get into the roster. And the Isles finally announced the roster. We're going to be playing the Rangers in a couple of days in a preseason game, and then Saturday, 4 p.m., Isles Panthers for real, or as real as it can be nowadays. But here's the roster. I'm going to read down forwards, read down defensemen, read down the goaltenders, and then we'll kind of get into some omissions and how we think that Trotz is going to deploy these guys. So as far as the forwards go, you've got Bailey, Barzal, Beauvillier, Brassard, Cizikas, Clutterbuck, Dalcol, Eberle, Johnston, Koivula. I love that they brought Koivula. Komarov, Kunackel, Ladd, Lee, Martin, Nelson, and Pageau. On defense, they're taking 10 defensemen: Aho, Boychuk, Dobson, Green, Hickey, Letty, Mayfield, Pellick, Pulock, and Taves. And then goaltenders, you've got Gibson backing up the tandem of Grice and Varlamov. So that's your Islanders roster. That is who we're going to war with. The probably two most notable omissions out of that group were the kids, Kiefer Bellows and Oliver Wahlstrom. I think Wahlstrom, it was obvious that he was not going to play just because he has got one game left before that first year burns. Why burn his entry level deal now? Why burn a year of that now when it's going to be a kind of a funky playoff? Bellows, I'm a little disappointed that they didn't bring him, just because, again, I thought when he did play, he looked good. But I think this is going to be, surprise, surprise, a defense first lineup. I think we're going to try to strangle teams. I think we're going to try to choke the offense out, especially with the Panthers. But are you surprised that they didn't take either of the kids?
Yeah, I think disappointed, yes. Surprised, no, if realistically, with Bellows. I'm honestly pleasantly surprised about Koivula more than anything else. I don't think he's a chance at playing, but I'm pleasantly surprised nonetheless. And I agree with you completely about starving teams out. I think what it's going to be is teams just trying to get a feel back in the first couple of games. You really can't tell how acclimated people are going to get. We were talking off the air before this about what kind of game the Rangers exhibition game is going to be. And I think it's really hard to tell, but it's going to be more about getting acclimated, getting your legs under you. And I think one game is honestly too much to ask for players to get back to the way they are. So I think that the first couple games against Florida are going to have even less to do with overall quality than normal. And the Islanders are a team that try to stifle overall quality. So I think that bodes well for them.
Yeah, I agree. I think for the disappointing thing for me is, I guess I wasn't expecting Bellows or Wahlstrom to actually be on this roster. I guess for me, it's just, you know, again, it comes back to the disappointment in their overall roster and the lack of scoring that they seem to have. And I don't know if that's going to be as big of an issue come these playoffs. I mean, the assumptions we're making is that the playoffs this year are going to be like previous seasons, and really they're not going to be. I mean, these guys are getting a quick training camp and then one preseason game, and then it's like, boom, you're supposed to be playing this intense hockey. Playoff hockey is played in front of ravenous fans and noise and intimidation, and it is such a game of momentum, so much more than the regular season is. And I think it's going to be interesting this year to see that intense. I mean, there's almost no way, regardless of what's going on the ice, there's no way that the games are going to have that same feeling in an empty arena, right? I mean, that's obvious. But I think what disappoints me is, again, the fact that we're not necessarily going to have this potent offense. And what if the games are a little bit more open and free-flowing? I mean, you know, the playoffs come around after teams have spent half a year perfecting their systems. And that's why the teams that have nailed their systems down strangle other teams out offensively and why the games are so close. These guys have been sitting around playing guitar, hanging out, playing Fortnite and everything else. They have not been playing hockey. So I don't know if you're going to have these real, you know, strategic games. I think it's going to be more of whoever gets their legs under them first is really going to have the greatest chance of getting out of that qualifying round.
True. I especially with the last thing you said about whoever gets their legs under them first has the huge advantage. And I couldn't agree more. And I think there's evidence to back that up with mostly the soccer leagues that have come back that I've watched. And what was surprising to me, I kind of expected it, but I think what showed was that the teams with managers that had this sort of, in soccer, if you know, the harder working teams are the ones that press hard, that, you know, work on team pressing, which is just a harder, more demanding physically style of play. And those teams were the teams that came back better because mm-hmm. they just had more stamina. They could just run more. And I think when no one is 100% sharp, you know, regardless of how good Crosby and McDavid are going to be, they're not going to be as good as they were before, nor will Tom Kunackle. But I think that one thing that you can get that is the same for everyone is just how in shape you're going to be able to get. And then right. sharpness will come later. The Stanley Cup finals might be about sharpness, about who the actual better team is. But the qualifying round is not going to be. If the Montreal Canadiens are in better shape than the Penguins, they're going to win. And I know that.
Well, I think you're leaving one thing out, though, Ben, and that's also, you know, natural talent and natural ability. And that's what scares me about the Islanders is that I don't know. I mean, it's insulting to say that they don't have talent because, of course, they do. But when you look at other teams in the league, the Islanders' success comes more from systems than it does from, you know, the ability to outscore your opponent or, like, you know, the high-end top-level skill. So that's what worries me. It's not just stamina. I think it's a mixture of stamina, skill, and preparation.
Right, but I think preparation for the Islanders is a lot more mental than it is for other teams. And I think that showed in the fact that, I mean, hockey's an 82-game season, so the Islanders went on a 17-games point streak and almost didn't make the playoffs, if right. we're talking about a normal season. Mm-hmm. And that was early in the season. I mean, the Islanders were I think the second best team in the league after Washington when their 17-game point streak ended, and or maybe third, or they were amazing. And I think one of the things that happened in addition to the Islanders petering out was other teams ending their preseason, so to speak, and getting their sharpness and getting their skates under them and figuring out their systems that were less about having Barry Trotz as your coach.
Right.
Well, you know, if we're talking on the basis of this season, the Islanders started better than almost anybody. And I think
when they were healthy.
Yeah. And that's a good sign when it comes to the playoffs. Healthy is certainly a factor, but I think also just they started better. We're starting again. It's nice to know that the last time we started not just well, but better than almost everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I'm very excited to see what this lineup will do with a full platoon of centers that we haven't had. Because, you know, again, every team goes through injuries. I get that. But we lost arguably our second most important center in Casey Cizikas and our number one defenseman in Adam Pellick. And having both of them back is huge for this team. So, I mean, I'd like to look at the roster if we can by each position. So I think from a defensive position, we are solid, man. We are bringing 10 excellent defensemen. Maybe that if you look at every team bringing 10 D-men into that bubble, I think the Islanders are in the top 25% at least, if not top 10%.
Certainly, if you're talking about the four that aren't going to play, they're arguably the best.
Right. Which, I mean, look, if the Islanders start shaky, we could see three different defensemen in there game two.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it says a lot about the fact that, you know, Green and Dobson were picked as this pair that probably won't play. And then Trotz is, of course, saying, you know, they've been the best, you know, since coming back in practice. And I think that part of that is probably true. And I think part of that is coaches hyping up the guys that may not play, both as a ploy to get everyone to work harder and also mm-hmm. so that the other manager has no idea, you know, who's coming out on August 1. But I think also that shows that, I mean, a guy we traded a third or second round pick for and one of the best defensive prospects in the league might not play.
Yeah.
And that's ridiculous.
I know, but that just speaks to the Islanders' D core being healthy.
And if they don't,
and that's always been our strength.
Or Mayfield might not play, or Letty or Boychuk might not play. That's crazy.
I know. It's especially helpful on a back to back because games two and three are back to back.
I think I wouldn't be far from surprised if they started with seven defensemen with the six and then Green. And then
I don't know. I'm gun shy with that because of that game against Ottawa where we dressed seven defensemen and we just kept losing forwards. And by the end of the game, we had like 2.5 lines. So I don't know if we're going to do that again.
Matt Barzal played 30 minutes that game.
Yeah. That was crazy. So D, I'm good with. We'll talk about the forwards next, and then we'll get into the goalies and kind of segue into Sorokin. So the forwards, look, same story that's been going on all season. First line and fourth line are set. You've got Eberle, Lee, and Barzal at your top. You've got Cizikas, Martin, Clutterbuck at the bottom. And having that fourth line completely healthy and rested for the playoffs is huge. And then you've got the middle six, which have been a problem all year. So it looks like right now, I know a lot of fans want the French connection with Pageau, Beauvillier, and Brassard, but it doesn't look like we're getting that. It looks like Beauvillier, Bailey, and Nelson are going to be your second line. Pageau, Brassard, and question mark is your third line. And that's where you've got a lot of players competing for one spot, and that is Pageau's wing, left wing. I don't know who's going to get there. You've got Ladd. You've got Kunackle, you've got Ross Johnston, you've got Michael Dal Cole, like Leo Komarov. All these guys are battling for essentially one spot. And so far everybody's saying it looks like Tom Kunackle is leading the pack there. But I, call me crazy, I would love to see Pageau playing with Andrew Ladd.
I was going to say the same thing. I was going to say, I hope Ladd wins the race for two reasons. One, he won't win the race unless he absolutely deserves it. And two, if he absolutely deserves it, he's pretty good. And that Andrew Ladd is at his core not a bad player.
Right. No, and I agree.
If Andrew Ladd has the potential for Brassard to be the worst on that line, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And what I love about Ladd is that Ladd is sneaky good. Like, he's got that wrist shot, man. His release is phenomenal. And, you know, where in the playoffs where you need to steal goals, he's got a better chance of scoring than Kunackle does. The question's going to be, does Barry go, you know, does he use his middle six as shutdown and hope to get offense from the top line and momentum from the fourth line? Or does he try to sneak some scoring on that second or third line also? Like, we don't know because we really haven't been able to see Pageau gel with anybody yet. So we don't know how he's going to use Pageau. And I would love to see that line maybe be a little bit more dynamic, but he may think that Ladd and Brassard are not defensively responsible enough, and that could be, you know, a weakness. But we are the home team in the series, so we could get matchups. So that's
right.
That does help us.
Well, I think a lot depends on a couple of things. It's how Nelson, Beauvillier, and Bailey gel from game one, because that can go really well and it can also go really poorly. And I think that's a huge line, because you sort of know what you're getting from one and four, and you sort of know what you're not getting from three. To me, it's a lot about two. I honestly, as much as Ladd, I think has a higher ceiling than anybody else that we were talking about, including Brassard, by the way. Even though Brassard started well, I'm still not sold on him, as I know has been well documented before. I still think that where this is won and lost is the second line, because of how high the ceiling is and how low the floor is. Brock Nelson was in the conversation for the Islanders MVP this year, and Beauvillier and Bailey at spurts and at times were also really, really good.
And yeah, they've all been streaky. Great. They've all taken their turns of being invisible and being major playmakers.
And
I think I said this in the last episode, but I would love to see if Brock Nelson's hockey biological clock resets and he thinks it's October again.
Exactly. But I think the other thing is that Pastrnak is going to be playing on the power play, whether it's the first or second unit. I know they've had set units, but that can always change, as much as it's not crazy likely. Pastrnak is going to be on the power play. He's going to be playing with guys that aren't on his line, because the guys on his line aren't going to be the best. But I think that it wouldn't be crazy to say we could totally see Pastrnak make a move. If Beauvillier, Nelson, and Bailey are not working, I could totally see Pageau move to left wing two, and Beauvillier is down to the third line, and Brassard's at center or something like that, and see how Pageau, Nelson, and Bailey works or something like that. I think you can get that from the middle six. Is that?
Yeah, but then who's your third line center then?
Then your third line is Brassard.
So you're back to Brassard as a center.
Or like Komarov or some shit.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't see. I think this is the first time that we're gonna have one through four down the middle, the strongest we've ever been. I don't think you'd change that.
You'd never start a game like that. I'm just saying, if the second line isn't working, you throw Pageau up there because you saw what he's. I think he was. When you take into account what he did for Ottawa, I think he actually would be the Islanders' top goal scorer this year. I think he's the top goal scorer on the Islanders, even though he scored them for Ottawa.
Yeah.
And so seeing what he can do with Nelson and Bailey, if stuff isn't working and it's like, 1-0 down or like 0-0 late in the second, that's totally the type of thing that Barry would do to put something in the blender. It's just like, you've got this guy who is going to be the third line center. That's great because, like you said, you've got that 1-2-3-4 that's one of the best ones in the league, especially in terms of depth at 3 and 4.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely doesn't have the I mean, Barzell's is certainly talented, but it's not the top end talent like some other teams. It's not the Penguins with Crosby and Malkin, let's say. But I would love to see how these coaches handle a situation that they've never had to really handle before, apart from like international competition and like junior tournaments where you don't have the luxury. Like if this was going into the start of the season, some of these coaches are going to have like, okay, these are going to be my lines for the first five games. And we're going to see who's gelling, who's playing well. Like you don't have that luxury. So do you try to stick with what you think is going to work and give them a game or two to get their legs and to gel? Or do you, by the second period, start changing things up in game one? Like, it's such a coin flip.
Right, exactly. You can't even tell. And I think part of me is like, old school is might not bode well for a bubble where old school might not work. But at the same time, Trotz can go to the blender, and I don't want to doubt, a guy that won the Stanley Cup less than 2 years ago, and I don't want to doubt the guy that's really been the one to take the Islanders from where they were to where they are.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Look, whatever Barry's gonna do, you can't. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much hockey or how little hockey you've ever played in your life. there is no way of knowing what's actually going to work and what's not in this tournament. That's what it is. It's just a tournament. We really have no idea. He's got some weapons that he hasn't had, again, all together to use, which is great. But we just don't know. And it's just so funny how, boy, you can almost tell by the way that we've been talking about it all season. The one thing that Lou Lamoriello has to do in the offseason, besides sign our RFAs, is fix the third line. Because here we are still, you know, in the playoffs now, and we're still talking about the third line. Before it was a third line center, they got Peugeot. That helped big, but we still don't know. You've got, I mean, out of five players, there's not a definitive choice to play on Peugeot's left in the third line. Like, that's crazy to me.
And doesn't look like you're going to bring back Brassard next year. I certainly
no. Would. You're looking no. To- you're definitely not. You can't. We have no cap, dude. Like, we, in order to sign our three RFAs. After giving money to Sorokin next season, we are strapped. There's going to be some major changes next season with this roster. There has to be. Otherwise, you can kiss Barzal goodbye.
Right. I think that leads a little bit to the goaltender conversation a little bit.
Yeah, because, absolutely.
You know, with Varley and Grice, who knows who's going to play in the bubble? I know Trott said that he has an idea at this point. Or is close to making a decision, but I think
Who are you leaning towards? Who do you think he's leaning towards?
Varley.
See, I think it's Grice.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think for a couple of reasons, Grice has beaten the Panthers in the playoffs recently, and Grice is playing for a contract. And I think there's no mistake about it. Besides the fact that it's good to have Sorokin here now. Sorokin is literally with the team. He is putting pressure on both of these goaltenders to say, like, I'm here, I'm coming. What do you guys have? What are you going to do?
But what if, I mean, and I think that this is I know that you can't believe everything you read, but I would be totally fine with trading Varlamov if that's an option. If someone's buying, I'm selling.
Okay.
And I think
there's two assumptions. Yeah, you've got two assumptions to make with that. Sure, that's great. Number one, you're assuming that Grice is going to re-sign, and how much does he re-sign for?
Oh, he would, and he would re-sign for less than Varlamov is.
Maybe. I don't know, man. I think we both know that he's heading to Carolina, regardless of what happens. But
he doesn't need $5 million, though.
Well,
Varlamov's being paid $5 million. If you can get
Grice that's. Lou has, for better or worse, I would say worse, Lou has put us in a very, very tight situation with paying, overpaying mediocre players. Everybody thought that Varley was an overpayment because he's inconsistent. Now, him as a 1-2 with Sorokin next year, and let's just get this out of the way. The Islanders obviously like have signed Sorokin. We last recorded, he was not yet signed. He's officially signed next year, $2 million, $1 million signing bonus, and $1 million salary. He's an RFA. We have his rights. It's a prove it deal. Let's see what he can do. That's amazing. He's with the team, but he's ineligible because the NHL decided to change their rules on everybody, which is another whole argument that we can have for another day. But he should be playing. He's not playing. So we're stuck with this here. I don't know if you're going to get anybody who's going to take Varley on that money.
Yeah, true. Fine.
I mean, who does it?
Someone who wants to take on a contract on a team that's probably going to be bad, but also could totally ride a good goaltender. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think Lou very intentionally knew that he was going to be able to get Sorokin on the cheap for a couple of years. He could afford to overpay Varlamov, knowing that Grice is going to walk.
Overpay Varlamov. I mean, look at the rest of the team. It's not just there's not like a cap for players and then a cap for goaltenders. That's not how it works. It doesn't matter that you're paying $7 million to your goaltenders and most teams pay more than that, because what matters is that you're in a cap crunch and you have to pay three of your best five players.
Right. And the reason why we're in that cap crunch is because we have a very, very expensive middle six that doesn't really get us anywhere. And we're going to have to rely on entry-level deals next year to survive this cap crunch. And we're probably going to have to move at least a Nick Leddy or Johnny Boychuk or something. I mean,
or a Semyon Varlamov. He's usable. Yeah. Not a bad goaltender.
No, he's not. He's not. We'll see. I mean, hey, maybe that's what they do. If you can keep Grice, I'm fine. I don't really care because I think the starter next year is it might not be at the beginning of the season, but by the end of next season, this will be Ilya Sorokin's team.
True. Agreed. Probably. But here's my thinking on Varlamov. If you play him, you're marketing him for both the Islanders as to what you're getting in the playoffs from your goaltender, because you know what Grice gives you in the playoffs, probably, even though it was a while ago. You know Grice is a more known quantity to the Islanders than Varlamov is. And I don't think the Islanders are going to win. I you can't go into it thinking that, but I think the goaltending decision has to do with two things more than anything else. One, who's been better since the restart? Actually, only one thing. Who's been better since the restart? And unless there's like a clear option, then I think you have to go with Varlamov because you're marketing him to see, A, if he's going to be really good and maybe you can get a buyer from him. Or maybe he's going to be really good and you think, okay, he's really good. We can afford to let Grice go. Also,
listen, on paper, Grice that sounds good, season. Ben, but these guys want one thing and one thing only, and that's to win.
But here's the thing is – If Barry Trotz comes here and tells me right now, we think Thomas Grice gives us the best chance to win, great, go with Grice. Do you buy that's happened in the last couple days? Because Varley was the starter.
Varley was the starter. Varley played really well when the Islanders were still losing because they forgot how to score towards right. The end of the season. So, no, I mean, look, I believe that Thomas Grice is a phenomenal backup goalie, but I don't think you can necessarily rely on him to the extent that we've had to the last couple of years. And that's why you see him, you know, struggling when he's got to carry the load. I also don't think that Varlamov is like this shutdown playoff goaltender that's going to get us that deep, which, again... You know, this is the situation we're in right now. Next year's a totally different ball game. We've got a world-class goalie that's going to be between the pipes for us, and that's something we haven't had since Rick DiPietro was drafted. So that's great. But, yeah, for right now, I think it's either way. Like, you could go either way. Like, does it even – like, do you feel infinitely more confident if Varley starts over Grice?
No, and not the other way around either.
Right. Which
is, I think it has a lot to do with what you think you're getting in the future. Like, here's the last hypothetical I'll give to you. What if you think that you can move Varley, and if you start Grice, he's upping his trade value. He's upping the amount of money he's going to get. It can only go up. Him playing
well, if he plays well,
affects anything.
If you start him and he plays well, if he plays terribly.
But I don't think
you might get him on the cheap.
I don't think it lowers his value because it's like, all right, like, yeah, he came back from quarantine and was bad in a time that that's never happened before.
Okay, no, but back up a second. You're going to look at his numbers from the last 3 years, and he had one good year in the last 3 years, and that was when Robin Lehner was a Vezina finalist.
Exactly. So if you're the Islanders – and you can move Varley, you can get him back on the cheap and say you're our starter right now, try to keep your place ahead of Sorokin. And then all of a sudden you've got a really good tandem like you did the year the Islanders won the Jennings.
Right. I'm with you. But I think that right now the only thing that Barry Trotz cares about is beating the Florida Panthers. So you're talking about next level stuff that, again, in a vacuum or on paper sounds good. But Barry Trotz is the one making the call, and Barry Trotz only cares about winning.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, you know, that's what I think. I think it'll be really, really interesting to see who he starts against the Rangers in the preseason, because I think that's going to tell you who he wants to start in the playoffs.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
Just because
he's gonna split. They're gonna split the game. He said that they're gonna split the game, but I think the starter. I want to see who he puts out first.
So are the Rangers just gonna play their three goaltenders like period? Like Shesterkin starts and then Lundqvist plays the second period and then Georgiev plays the third.
And what an embarrassment of riches. Those guys, they have three world-class goalies.
And we score on Lundqvist and we score on Shesterkin and then Georgiev has like a 20-save shutout in the third period.
I really believe that Lundqvist is going to start against the Hurricanes, and I think it's going to be a gesture out of respect. And that's going to be it. And we'll see, see how he does. That's going to be a great series. I hate the Rangers, but boy, I'm excited to see them play the Hurricanes because those are two teams that just don't care about defense.
Right. That too. And the other series that I'm super excited for is Pittsburgh-Montreal because everyone thinks Pittsburgh's going to win. So if they do, who cares? But if Montreal wins, it's going to be the greatest thing ever.
Oh, I know. I'm excited for that too. So yeah, we'll see, man. I mean, I'm really pumped to see some hockey. Like we got the Ranger game coming up, we got the Panthers coming up. Like we'll have some good stuff to actually talk about.
Not to mention, no one's gonna know who the opponent is, so we're gonna be paying attention to those round robins too.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, real quick, can I take this away from the Islanders for a second?
Yeah, obviously.
What the hell do you think happened out in Arizona with John Chayka?
I honestly don't know. I really don't. And it had to have been something to do with Taylor Hall. Maybe I'm missing something that like the world already knows that I don't.
I mean,
it with his signing.
The response from the team was just the most scathing. Like I've never seen. They basically said John Chayka chose to quit on the team, on the fans, on everybody as we were going into the playoffs. Like, and John Chayka is basically saying like, no, you have to hear my side of the story. Like, what happened? He just signed an extension. Like they've got a young team, an exciting team, and like out of nowhere, he's just like, no, I resign. Like you'll never be a GM in the league again.
Maybe Taylor Hall was just like, I'm just gonna not resign, and he just like called a player meeting and was like, we're going into this, we've got to win. I'm so pumped for this. I'm so pumped to play with you guys. Just, I'm not going to resign. Like, fuck all of you.
You really think that a young guy like John Chayka is going to let a free agent that's going to walk destroy his career? He wouldn't quit for that. That would make Taylor Hall look like the idiot, not John Chayka. John Chayka looks like a moron right now.
For sure. And imagine if, like, somehow the Coyotes like do something in the playoffs and go farther than expected, and he's like, yeah, maybe I should have been there.
See, I think it has so much more to do with something else going on and not what the team success is, or it has nothing to do with that, because then you just wait. What's the big deal? You wait for the playoffs to end and then you do whatever you're gonna do. Something went down with ownership and Chayka. Like, I am dying to know when that all that comes out, what happened, because you never see this, especially the timing.
And the
unbelievable.
A team statement is more than just what the owners are saying, because it's going up on the social media. It's on behalf of the team, not on behalf of the owners, The owners have control, but you also don't tell your team to say something ridiculous unless it's super, I don't know, unless whatever we're going to find out.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk. I wanted to mention that just because that's been news that broke a couple days ago, and that's just some crazy, crazy stuff. So, well, Ben, I don't know, man. You got anything else you want to talk about here? I really wanted to talk about the roster. I wanted to talk about the arena naming, and I wanted to talk obviously about Sorokin. I mean, I'm so excited for him next year, but I'm taking the Lou Lamoriello approach where I'm done now talking about Sorokin until next season. Like, he's here. We got him. I am beyond excited for Sorokin. I believe that Ilya Sorokin is the second most important piece of this team behind only Matt Barzal. That being said, he is not involved in this playoff. So it's great that he's here. It's great that he's hanging out with the team. He's learning the NHL. He's going to make a lot of friends. That's great. Has nothing to do with the next couple of weeks.
For sure. The only part of Ilya Sorokin that I'm so here for to see is practice videos of him, like, stopping Matt Barzal in a breakaway. Like, I'm so here for that.
Yeah, me too. Totally.
I think the last thing that I just wanted to ask you is, I mean, the next time we're going to record is probably going to be after game one.
Yeah, unless we want to squeeze in one right after the preseason game, which,
yeah, that's a good point too.
Thursday, Saturday. I mean, we'd have a pretty short window to do that. So maybe we'll do it. If not, we'll definitely recap after Saturday, because then I think it's Tuesday, Wednesday, or the next two. So we'll definitely record after the Panthers game. But maybe we can squeeze one in.
So yeah, do you think this is anything other? We talked a little bit about like what you know, the aspects of the Islanders and the Panthers that can bode well to starting from scratch or from to stifling offense or to maybe not having as good defense. But ultimately, do you think it's anything other than a coin flip?
I'm not sure.
I know, because it's like these factors could matter. It could matter that the Islanders are more of a hard work team, so they could be in better shape. It's all hypothetical. It could matter that it's harder to set. It might be harder to set up from a defensive standpoint than just a more of a go out there and play offense, Florida type standpoint.
Yeah,
it's probably going to be the same in terms of what goaltender is hot, but.
I mean, my thing is, I think that the advantage of finishing in the top four in each conference is so much bigger than people realize, because these teams are going to get one preseason game and three round robin games to get their legs under them before the games actually count. Yes, it's important that they count, you know, for their seeding, but those teams not having to get thrown right into the fire is such an advantage over all the other teams that,
oh, yeah, the best scenario.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's going to be a crapshoot for sure. I think that's why I think this game on Thursday is going to be a pretty intense game, because I think these teams are going to get right into it. They're going to, like, you can't look. Not to say that, like, you know, playing hockey in high school and college and tournament and stuff is like, you know, makes me some expert on this. But like the one thing I know playing the game is that you can't just flip a switch and dial up your intensity. You have to be in that mindset from the very beginning. So this game on Thursday is going to be a pretty intense game. Like, no doubt about it. We're not talking September, you know, third preseason game, half scrubs, half starters. Like, no, this is going to be a legit hockey game on Thursday. And this is the only chance that these guys have to get the rust out. So hopefully, you know, it's a good game for them. They can get their legs under them, feel confident going into Florida. But yeah, man, I think, look, if one team gets a couple of lucky breaks, couple of bounces, you know, a goalie's off their game, Bobrovsky stands on his head, or Bobrovsky craps the bed, one of the two, I think that whichever team wins that first game is winning the series.
It could be, especially with back-to-back in the bubble. It almost feels like the same game. Maybe that's just because it looks like that on the schedule, because, you know, 2 days in a row when you're in July or even June looking at this seems like an hour apart from each other. But the first game totally could mean anything. I feel like for the exhibition game, you almost just want first face-off, Cizikas against probably Zuccarello, and then you're looking at, not Zuccarello, Zibanejad, Ziz, allow me. And you almost just want, like, Kreider and Martin or someone like that to just, like, drop the gloves. Like, why not, you know?
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to do that just because they don't want to hurt themselves into it. The only thing I want a hard fought game, and I don't want any injuries. Please, no one block any shots like that. Like, just get your legs under you. Don't go crazy.
Just, like, skate a lot. Honestly, that's really all that matters.
Yeah.
Just skate a lot. Like, have some long shifts. Like, see what that's like. Have, you know, pen the Rangers in their zone for what, have, you know, those times where you can change and they can't, in the second when you've got that the long change, and have that happen to you a couple times, the extremes of hockey that you don't get every game, have all of those stuff happen to you, have a 5-on-3 for and against, even though that won't happen because penalties will be probably less likely in a preseason game, have everything that could possibly happen to you for and against, aside from injuries, happen, and roll with the punches.
And well, that's why I think it's good that the Islanders are playing the Rangers, because I think the Rangers are a real fast skate. You know, they are a skating team, so we're going to have to skate hard against them. So I like that.
It's that, but it's also a rivalry. You don't stop hating your rivals overnight. You probably don't. You might not hit them as hard, but it doesn't stop being a rivalry just because it's a preseason game. And I think it's the best case scenario in terms of getting your legs under you is playing a fast team, like you said, and also playing a team you hate, because ultimately you do want to win.
Yep. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I'm excited. I'm so excited. We're a couple days away from real hockey. So that's awesome. Well, dude, I think that's a good place to end it. We're just coming up on about an hour. It feels so good to be talking Hiles again. So good.
That it does. It's yep. almost. It's
and
still
I am so weird. Glad that, you know, we got we you know, glad for everybody to be back listening to us again. We appreciate it. I know we took a little bit of a break and we weren't planning on doing that, but I mean, realistically, it just didn't make sense for us when we were talking about it to record when there wasn't much going on. Now that we're back into the flow of it, we'll have, you know, the playoffs, we'll have the draft, we'll have the off season. Like, there'll be things that we can dive into now. So we're back. Expect regular podcasts from us moving forward. And let's go, man. Let's beat the Red Pants, and let's go into the Florida series with some momentum. And I think Barzy's going to have a huge playoff.
I still don't believe that it's starting, you know? I can't believe it. It's not – I'm not going to believe it till it – I still might not even believe it when they're playing the Rangers, but that's going to get me close.
Yeah. That'll be a good warm-up for everybody, fans too. It'll just be nice to see hockey again. I think there's some games even, tomorrow night. So, well, yeah, man, we're getting into it here. So,
wait, last question for you, actually.
Yeah.
We're both out-of-market fans.
Yes.
Game one – NBCSN, MSG, what are you watching?
Oh, I would definitely watch MSG, no doubt about it. But I don't know if I'm going to have that luxury because I live in Florida.
Exactly. But do you have, like, the NHL package and stuff?
Oh,
do
they I have the package. But when the Islanders play the Panthers, it's blacked out for me. I have to watch.
Oh, because Panthers. You're in the Panthers market.
Yes.
Interesting. I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah. So I don't know how they're going to do it. I'll figure it out. But I'm sweating bullets.
See, I don't know what to do because I might be away. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to, like, walk through colleges. Obviously, they're not open, but, like, walk on their campuses and try to get a sense. So I'll be, like, mid-college trip through, like, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and D.C. and those places. And so if I can be on my computer, I can get the MSG feed. But also sometimes the TV is a TV. So I don't know what.
Yeah.
I'll have a decision.
I mean, look, man, whatever it is, it's going to look weird. It's going to sound weird. It's not going to look like the normal hockey games you're accustomed to. So just wherever you can get it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I'll try to watch as much as possible, you know? I think we're the second game of the whole restart.
I know the Rangers get the primetime game on Saturday at noon. So then, yeah, we're at 4 o'clock. So we're the second Eastern game, but we're not the I think there's another game that's going to go on at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of hockey that day. So
imagine this playing
cool,
at 11 a.m. your time. That's
right.
Imagine playing at 11 a.m. your time. That's
I know. Well, they'll be in the hub cities long enough to kind of get acclimated. So
yeah.
I'm scared of the back-to-back day games. Like, on top of everything else being weird, you've got two day games in the middle of this series that it's just like their bodies are not acclimated for that. This is just such a weird – the winner of this year really deserves it. I'm going to say that. I think it's harder to win this year than any other year. I really do.
I do too, and I'm really here for – obviously, it's, you know, I have to – obviously, you want it to be the Islanders. But whoever wins it, I'm just going to be, like, super intrigued by the whole process. And I just hope it's not someone that I hate. Like, it better not be the Rangers or the Leafs or the Penguins.
Yeah, I think you got a good chance of it being the Bruins this year. I think they're a juggernaut.
Also, as a Providence Islanders fan, Boston adjacent, I also hope it's not the Bruins.
Yeah, I believe that. We'll see. I don't know. It's anybody's cup this year. It's the COVID cup. Anybody can win it. All right, Ben. Well, look, man. Good show, dude. I'm excited to be back. I really am.
Same here. And, you know, we're still getting our skates under us. So, you know.
Yeah, bear with us. Hope you like the intro. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys. Well, look, thanks for listening. Isles are back. Let's go, baby. Let's go. For Ben, I'm Damon. Thanks for listening. Leave us a review. Hit us up on Facebook, Spotify, SoundCloud, you name it. We're there. Let's go, Isles. Have a great week, and we'll be back soon. Later.